is so good to see each and every one of you here today. It looks like the rain maybe has kept a few from coming, but we're going to praise the Lord and rejoice in the fact that this is His house and He's provided it for us to come and to worship and to praise Him. And I ask you, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen,
amen indeed. Our text this morning is a verse that is familiar, I believe, to most of us. I've used this verse in sermons before, but not in the context that we'll discuss today. The verse comes from the second book of Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 14. And I invite you to follow along in your Bible as I read 2 Chronicles 7, 14. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. May God add His blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the studying of His word. Also, in a previous message, I mentioned the French writer, Alex de Tocqueville. After visiting America in 1831, I said Alex, it's Alexis. Alexis said, America is great because America is good, and if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. Now, obviously, the America Alexis saw in 1831 is certainly different than the America today. In fact, the America in which you and I grew up is different than the America of our grandchildren. And in view of the changes over the years, the question now becomes, is America great as it once was? And I can tell you that a nation is only as great as its allegiance to God. In Psalms chapter 33, verse 12, we read, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." And sadly, in my opinion, America has become less and less a nation who recognizes that God is Lord. And many people believe that this separation of America from God began when Madeline Murray O'Hare, an avowed atheist, filed a lawsuit against her son's school district. And she was successful in obtaining a decision from the United States Supreme Court in 1963, which banned prayer from public school. And today, prayer is banned from school, sporting events, graduation, commencements, and other public school functions. The Supreme Court has ruled that the Ten Commandments cannot be posted in public buildings and in courthouses. In many courts, the phrase, "So help me God," has been omitted from the oath which is administered to witnesses. I still use that, and I've never had anyone disagree with taking the oath saying, "So help me God." The debate still continues as to whether it's unconstitutional to say the Pledge of Allegiance because of the phrase, "One nation under God." And now a movement is underway to remove the phrase, "In God we trust," from American currency. Has America ceased being good? Well, let's begin by saying that when God is no longer revered by a nation, then it will gradually slip into moral decay. And let's look at the actions that America has taken over the past few years. In January 1973, the Supreme Court, in the case of Roe versus Wade, legalized abortion. And since then, there have been 50 million unborn babies knitted together in their mother's womb, fearfully and wonderfully made by God Almighty, who have been aborted. Now Congress is trying to redefine marriage. God intended marriage to be between one man and one woman, so says His Word. And today, 6 states have legalized gay marriages. 4 states have enacted domestic partnership laws. 2 states have enacted civil union laws. And these partnership laws and these union laws are nothing but a facade for gay marriages. And many in Congress are making it their job to see that homosexual marriages between gay and lesbians are allowed in every state in the United States. And this is in spite of the fact that God's Word clearly teaches men with men and women with women are unnatural and sinful. And I believe the majority of Americans are against abortion and gay marriages. And I believe that's so in spite of what our Congress and our courts are doing. America has been and still is, I think, one of the greatest nation on earth. But it's by God's choosing that America is great. Whether America is great or not is not dependent upon our power, our lead in the arms race. It's not dependent upon whether a Democrat or a Republican resides in the White House. The greatness of America and its survival as a great nation are measured entirely by the strength of our faith in God. And faith is so important today because so many of our leaders are attempting to dethrone God. And as morality continues to decline, America needs God to heal this land. But God will only heal us if His instructions are obeyed. Let's look at our text one more time. If my people who are called by my name, God is talking about believers. He's not talking about the lost. He's not talking about those who are Muslims, Buddhists. He's talking about His people. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and will heal their land. During the inauguration of a president of the United States, the Bible upon which the president-elect takes the oath is turned to the very scripture which I just read. And we can only hope and pray that our current president and future presidents take seriously God's instructions as to what is required for Him to heal our nation. What must America do? Well, America must humble itself. Being the wealthiest, being the most influential, being the most powerful are not qualities that God looks for in a nation. America possesses these characteristics. Therefore, it's so easy for our nation's leaders and for us as citizens to be prideful about our nation. And there's nothing wrong with having pride in living in the land which has been blessed so abundantly by God. Yet, we are not to become arrogant. We are not to feel that we are better than other persons or better than other nations. And furthermore, we are not to believe that we have become a great nation because of anything we have done, anything that our leaders have done, and neither should we believe that America is invincible and could never fall. Look at what has happened in the last couple of years with the economic downturn. Things can change. We can be humbled. God detests a prideful heart and a haughty spirit, and this is true whether such attitude is exhibited by a nation or by an individual. And God looks down on all those who are haughty and proud. So to receive God's healing of America, we must humble ourselves before Him. In James chapter 4, we read, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up. How can America continue to be great? God's word tells us that so long as our nation's leaders and we as citizens humble ourselves before God and continue to bow down and worship Him as the King of Kings, America will continue to be great. America must pray and seek God. You know, America was founded upon prayer and the seeking of God. The men and women who crossed the ocean to this land didn't come looking for soil for their plows or gold for their pockets. They were looking for liberty for their very souls. And when our forefathers landed on Plymouth Rock, they got down on their knees and thanked God for giving them this new country. They were looking for a land where they could worship God as they chose. And so America was born and founded upon religious freedom. Countless number of men and women have fought and died to preserve such freedom. Many of you have read the story of George Washington leading the Continental Army against the British, and during those stark days in Death Valley when his army was starving and freezing to death, there's an eyewitness account that says he saw General George Washington down on his knees in the snow, praying to God, asking Him to bless their efforts and to give them the freedom for which they were fighting. And as the Continental Congress convened, they were experiencing difficulties. Problems of a new country were multiplying, and Benjamin Franklin, one of the members of the Congress, asked all the members to get down on their knees and pray and ask God's blessing upon their effort. America must not only humble itself and pray and seek God, it must turn from its wicked ways. Friends, unfortunately, the evidence is incontrovertible on two points. One, America has allowed immorality to enter into and thrive in this nation. And two, many of our nation's leaders are supporting the legalization of immoral and godless acts. Connie was told very recently by an employee of Walmart that they were not allowed to say anything to a person they saw stealing merchandise right in front of them. That all they could do was call security, and security would do nothing unless the item was over $20. What is that telling our young people? That you can go in and steal as long as it's under $20? What type of example? The largest retailer in the world turns a blind eye to theft and admonishes and punishes its employees for saying anything. They are written up if they say anything. They can't even say, would you like a bag for that? Would you like me to ring that up for you? It's sad. It's sad. And obviously with almost 300 million Americans, it's going to be impossible to entirely eliminate immorality. We can't even do it from our churches and our families. But to legalize acts which God's word says are an abomination and an affront to Him is a slap in God's face. And America can't continue to survive and flourish as a great nation without turning from our wicked ways. We know God is extremely patient, but we also know He is a holy God, and He promises us that judgment will come, and we can find not one iota of evidence that God ever reneged on a promise. So we better be getting on our knees, friends, and humbling ourselves and teaching our children and voting for leaders that will turn from the wickedness that Satan has induced us into. What actions can we as individuals take to seek God's healing for our nation? Well, we too as individuals must pray for our leaders and for our nation. We read in Paul's first letter to Timothy, I urge then first of all that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority. How many times have we stood around and complained about our leaders and the moral decline of this country? And how effective was that in solving the problem? Complaining about the incessant political maneuvering which occurs every election year does not resolve the turmoil that occurs each election year. Think of all the mud that's been slung on just television over this gubernatorial and lieutenant governor and attorney general campaign. All the name calling. Instead of complaining, we should spend time in prayer, lifting the nation and its leaders up to God and asking Him for His remedy to the problems that we face. You know, and there's a prayer that showed up on the internet several times over the past few years, and the last time I saw it, credit was given for it to Dr. Billy Graham. And many of you probably read it, but it was actually written in 1995 by Reverend Bob Russell of Southeast Christian Church in Louisville, Kentucky. And he prayed this prayer at the Kentucky Governor's Prayer Breakfast in Frankfort, Kentucky. And I want you to listen to it and see if you don't agree with what this man said. Although the liberals attacked him, and some of the people walked out of that meeting, listen to what he said. Heavenly Father, we come here today before you to ask your forgiveness and seek your direction and guidance. We know your word says, woe to those who are called evil good. But that's exactly what we have done. We have lost our spiritual equilibrium and inverted our values. We confess that we have ridiculed the absolute truth of your word and called it moral pluralism. We have worshiped other gods and called it multiculturalism. We have endorsed perversion and called it an alternative lifestyle. We have exploited the poor and called it the lottery. We have neglected the needy and called it self-preservation. We have rewarded laziness and called it welfare. We have killed our unborn and called it choice. We have killed abortionists and called it justifiable. We have neglected to discipline our children and called it building self-esteem. We have abused power and called it political savvy. We have coveted our neighbor's possessions and called it ambition. We have polluted the air with profanity and pornography and called it freedom of expression. We have ridiculed the time-honored values of our forefathers and called it enlightenment. Search us, O God, and know our hearts today. Try us and see if there be some wicked way in us. Cleanse us from every sin and set us free. Guide and bless these men and women who have been sent here by the people and who have been ordained by you to govern this great state. Grant them your wisdom to rule, and may their decisions direct us to the center of your will. I ask it in the name of your Son, the living Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. How many of those things he said are true? 100% are true. And if we don't turn from our wicked ways, we will cease to be great. As individuals, we must respect our governing leaders regardless for whom we voted. In Romans, Paul wrote, "The authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor." Peter said, "Honor the king." And some of you now may believe that it was easy for Paul and Peter to issue these statements because they did not live under our government. How wrong you would be. You can't imagine, can't even fathom the government they lived under. They had no constitution. They had no declaration of no civil rights. They had no right to privacy. They had no guarantee of rights whatsoever. And Paul was writing to the people at Rome, the capital of the Roman Empire, and Nero was the emperor, the very ruler that Peter said was to be honored. And he was a heartless, godless, practicing homosexual who hated Christianity with a passion. Now, please understand that Christians were not being taught by Peter and Paul to respect Nero's ungodly lifestyle. They were saying, respect the office. We may not like the manner in which our leaders live. We may not like the manners in which they govern us. But nevertheless, we are to respect the authority of their position. We are to obey our nation's laws. Again, Paul wrote to Rome, "Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves." America is a nation governed by laws. And these laws were enacted for our protection and our well-being. And if we violate the laws, those in authority are sanctioned by God to punish us. So if our nation's laws do not violate God's laws, we are to obey them whether we like them or not. Our prayer should be, may God continue to bless our nation, and may our nation continue to honor God. Those of you who are here this morning who are believers, we need to listen to God's word. We need to humble ourselves. We need to pray and seek God's face, and we need to turn from our wicked ways, and we need to be witnesses to others, to those who are lost. And those of you who are here who may not have yet accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, what a day to do so. To come forward and say, yes, Lord, I want you to heal me from my iniquity, and I want you to heal this nation from its sin. And we invite you to come forward and do that as we sing our hymn of invitation, number 279, O Master, let me walk.